Well, we all saw who moved that music stand, right? Like, just kidding. Okay, I'm going to be reading from the Word of God, Titus chapter 3, verses 3 through 7. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Let's pray. Dear God, I just want to, first of all, thank you so much that our salvation is not dependent on us. Lord, Lord, you tell us in your word to cease striving, stop working so hard. It's not, unlike what we talked about in class this morning, it is not about us and our works, God. It is solely about you and for us to have the humility to come to you, Lord, and then to delight in you, God. And I just thank you, Lord, for saving us, Lord. And I thank you for your word that you can sharpen us, Lord, and just mold us into who you want us to be, God. And that I pray that we would just bring you glory with our lives, God. Thank you for loving us no matter what because of your precious son, Jesus. And thank you for giving us your spirit, Lord. We love you. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Lauren. You're not suggesting that I move things around and lose them, are you? We'll talk later. Good to have you guys here today at Washington Avenue. If you've been with us for a while, last fall we started, we're continuing this spring series called It's Not About Me and It's Not About Now. There's so many different angles to this. No more is that true than when we consider ways that we can get outside of ourselves and we can be involved in helping others who need our help, who need our generosity, who need our understanding, our compassion. We begin to understand what those words mean as we do. Every February, we take a Sunday and we spend it focusing entirely on one of the most important ministries at Washington Avenue, our Washington Avenue Family Service Center, right? We call it the FSC because that's a lot easier than all of those words. If you hear us talking about the FSC, that's our food and clothing ministry that's located down the street several blocks here, right next to the dollar store on the end of that shopping center. It's really an incredible ministry, and a lot of you know all about it. You've been a part of it forever, and what we're talking about today is just kind of a refresher for you. Maybe some of you know nothing about it, and I hope you'll hear something new today and that you'll be encouraged to be a part of what's going on down there. One of the most important things God has done for that ministry in recent years was to bring Darnell Wasinger into the fold to run that ministry. And something really kind of neat snuck up on us during the days between Christmas and New Year's when nobody really cares about anything. On January 1st, Darnell celebrated his 10-year anniversary working for the church here. Let's give him a hand for that. He's going to talk about that in just a minute, how God brought him where he is doing what he's doing. But my goodness, Darnell does such a great job for us at the Family Service Center. It's about twice as long as anybody else has ever survived working down there. And no, I'm not going to pay you more, Darnell, even though it's a hard job. It's so critically important, but God knew exactly what he was doing in providing someone with just the right heart. So without me talking a long time here, I just wanted to set this thing up, and I wanted you to welcome this morning Darnell Wasinger.
Well, good morning, and it is an honor to be standing before you to share a little bit about my life and to share about the Washington Street Family Service Center. This year, I get to celebrate three events in my life. First is 10 years being director at the FSC, which is quite amazing since I've never kept a job longer than 3 years before in my life. I'm not kidding. Second, next month I will be celebrating 20 years of marriage to my wife, Kathy. Yes, amen. And then third, I get to turn 50 this year. Now, I know many of you think I'm a lot older, but don't let the beard fool you. I grow it out to make my older wife look younger. Anyways, that's the first time I got booed for that. Anyways, as I started to think of these celebrations for this year, I thought back through my life and many things I've been through or many things I put myself through. Now, most of you know the new me. There's a few of you that may know the old me. Well, today I hope to share with you the real me. Titus chapter 3, verse 3 says, "For we too once were foolish, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various sinful desires and pleasures, spending and wasting our life in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another." That describes the old me exactly. The earliest memories I have are first of tormenting our pet cat, and then second of my parents teaching me the Lord's Prayer. Now, my parents didn't go to church, and I don't remember my grandparents going to church. See, both of my parents were alcoholics. And looking back, I see that it could only have been God who led them to teach me the Lord's Prayer. Growing up, there were no Christian influences in my life. All I knew was what my mom had told me, that Jesus was my Savior. I was born in Denver, Colorado, and go Denver. Broncos, I mean. Anyways, my parents divorced when I was 5, and my mom moved us to California when I was 7. My memories of California were of being a spoiled only child. And I remember one time a group of the neighborhood kids got together and were going up into the mountains. And so I decided I was going to invite myself along. Well, I found out later that they all hated me for that, and they made sure to let me know that. But one thing I also remember is sitting in the kitchen talking to my mom about how I will never do drugs. And how stupid people are who do them. Well, it's funny, 3 years later, I was smoking my first joint and drinking beer. I turned into an angry, rebellious teenager who lied about everything. Because at that time, my dad had become lost in his addictions and didn't have time for me. Now, when I was preparing for today, there were many, many stories that I wanted to share about my lying and my addictions and the crazy things I did, but there's not enough time for that, and there's more important things I'd rather share with you today. But over the next 6 years, I became a heavy weed smoker. I was hooked on crack for a while. I drank heavily. I ran away from home. I lived on the streets, and I became a meth addict. I was hooked on meth for about 12 years, but I can proudly say today I've been sober for 23 years. Thank you. I was 19 when my mom passed away to cancer. She died within about a year of her diagnosis, but I can see what a blessing it was and that God was working in my life back then. See, overnight I went from a 19-year-old who was being taken care of by his mama to becoming a father of a 9-month-old daughter with another child on the way. But I remember thinking when my mom passed that I was now the king of my castle and I could live how I wanted. And believe me, I did. I finally married my first wife at the age of 22 and we got divorced when I was 26. There are many things I did during that time that when I think about it, it still makes me sick to my stomach. But I was my own master, and I could do whatever I wanted. When I got divorced, I was going to follow my dad's example of living a life for myself and not worrying about my kids. But see, God didn't allow that. Instead, He put a strong desire in my heart for my children. And in fact, it is that desire for my children that helped me overcome my meth addiction. So after my divorce, I moved to Amarillo in 2000. My ex and my kids lived in Tucumcari. I was still living a life that was all about me, I partied a lot and dated a lot of different women. The world was a dark place then, and all I could see was a shroud of darkness everywhere. It was in June of 2000. I remember I was behind on my bills. I was about to lose my apartment. I hadn't seen my kids in over 3 months. And my ex-wife called me up and told me that if I didn't wake up and start being a father, she was going to take my kids away. I felt my world was crumbling. I dropped to my knees feeling lost. I was hopeless. I was ready to die. And I cried out to God and I told him, I don't believe you anymore. How can you allow this to happen to me like this if you're a God of love? Now, that day was the turning point in my life. And I promise you, it wasn't anything I did. It was all God. I believe he heard me that day and he said, okay, it's my turn. I continued to be the king of my broken castle. I didn't do anything new other than to make sure what was necessary to see my kids, because there was nothing in this world that gave me more joy than being with my children. Now, I was still dating many women at that time, and one of them was my wife, Kathy. I was still broke, and my car wasn't reliable enough to be going back and forth to Tootencary to get my kids. And so I asked Kathy, who was stalking me at the time, if I could use her car to get my kids each weekend. And yes, I did marry my stalker, and yes, she will confirm that. Thank you. Anyway, she allowed me to use her car with one stipulation, that she got to ride with me. Now, of course, that's not what I wanted, but I was going to do what was necessary to get my kids. They were the most important thing. So it was through those trips to get my kids that God opened my eyes to see this beautiful, wonderful lady before me. During those trips, I came to know her better and saw what a good woman she was and a mother. She had a 5-year-old son who today is my youngest boy. Now let me clarify on this. My DNA is in one of my children. But God has blessed me with 3 beautiful children, and I have been blessed by them. Anyway, it was those trips back and forth that God opened my eyes to realize what he had placed in front of me. See, originally I was going to do as my father did and have one life, one wife. But God knew I needed someone. So he brought me Kathy, and that's why we're going to celebrate 20 years of marriage next month. God brought me a mate to share life with. Next, he allowed my son to come live with me. Even though my daughter stayed with my ex, I still saw her every weekend and during the summer when we traded off kids. See, growing up, I watched my family being destroyed from addictions. And now God was restoring what I had lost in my childhood. God gave me a good woman, then he restored my family. He put people in my path to reveal himself to me and to instruct me on how to serve him. It was in 2002 I got to work for a godly family who showed me the importance it was of my role as a husband and a father to be the example for my family as a follower of Jesus Christ. This family invited me into church, and I started to learn who God really was. And I became involved in church. Now, it was there that God opened my heart and gave me a desire for him. We went to another church, and it was there that I learned some very important things that I can do to show God my faith in him. Some things happened at that church that really don't matter, and an old friend invited me here to Washington Avenue. Immediately, I felt welcomed. Now, I remember the first time I came back in 2008, and I've heard many say this too when they first visit. Why is Jim speaking to me? I swear he's looking right at me. Now, of course, I've learned it was God who was speaking to me, and I've come to know Jim quite well to know he's not that godly. Just kidding. despite the experiences at the other churches, I knew how important church was. I became heavily involved and was hungry for the Word. Now, I was very self-centered and selfish when it came to people in my personal life back then. I remember the first time I heard about the FSC. I thought how ridiculous the whole idea was. See, throughout my life, I always felt that you worked and you took care of your own. Those people need to quit being so lazy and they need to get a job. And there's no way I'm going to give them my money. See, at that time, I had a heart for God, but not His people. And God, He has a real sense of humor, doesn't He? It was about a year or two later when Mindy was a director and she was asking for help for sorting donations. I had just been through the 301 class where we learn of our spiritual gifts, and I have a spiritual gift for serving. So I signed up, and Mindy sat there, and she dumps this big old bag of clothes in front of me and tells me to sort and fold them. Immediately, I was like, no way. I hate folding clothes. I hate doing laundry. I hate shopping for clothes. I'm not doing this. So instead, I started seeing what other people needed and kind of supervising. That day, Mindy found her replacement. When she asked me if I was interested in taking over as director, I laughed. And I thought, for sure, Jim and the elders, as soon as they know who I am and what I've done, they're not going to allow me to be part of the church, at least the staff. But instead, after a few times of meeting, he said, "Can you start next month?" See, God is funny. He took a selfish, self-centered man who despises people who are lazy and who hates to fold clothes and put him in charge of a ministry to help his people with food and clothing. I'm thankful now that over the past 10 years, God has given me a heart for His children. Now, I'm sharing all this with you not to highlight myself. My hope is that you come to understand God can work in anyone for His glory and for His kingdom. I'm still that selfish guy, and I would love nothing more than to worry about myself and not others. But now I do care about and love His people. See, God restored my family. He restored my life. God has taken me out of the darkness. And now all I see is light. I'm going to read from Titus again, but I've changed it to read to me. "For I myself was once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing my days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, He saved me, not because of works done by me in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on me richly through Jesus Christ our Savior." It's all by the saving grace of Jesus that I stand before you as the man you know today. I came to believe and understand this Jesus that my mom told me about when I was but a small child. It was God who led my parents to teach me the Lord's Prayer and plant the seed. It was God, which I see now, who protected me all those years when I should have been in jail or dead. But today I share with you how God can work even when people aren't listening. If you would all please run the slides for me. On these slides you'll be seeing some pictures, and it's just a glimpse of the FSC and what it looks like and the youth that have been involved. The Washington Street Family Service Center was started back in 1995 in a small house behind the sanctuary where the West Building once was. See, God put the desire in a handful of people's hearts to help those in need in our community. Now today, this ministry has grown into quite a large operation. We have 85 volunteers at this time, but can always use more. In 2019, we served over 15,000 individuals who were in need. And then COVID hit and our numbers dropped tremendously, and mainly because many organizations started what I call drive-by giveaways. Now, last year, we were able to assist over 8,000 individuals, and 30% of those people are under the age of 18. We were able to purchase 96,386,000 pounds of food from the High Plains Food Bank and about 4,000 more from other resources. That's about 50 tons of food. The Family Service Center operates on a yearly budget of $150,000. And I just want to let you know that the FSC operates on its own. We are not part of the church budget. When we have our congressional meetings each year, when you look at that budget, you will not find the FSC. This is why we ask that you commit to support the Family Service Center a little above your tithing. And I want to brag, because 90% of the income that comes to the FSC is from you. It comes from individuals that give a little. The other 10% comes from fundraisers like the Festival of Flavors and Cruising for Christ car show and some various donors. But it's from many individuals that just give a little each month. That is our income. And I thank God for your generosity is what finances us, because I will not and do not apply for any government grants. The main reason is that they want to come in and they want to make rules and regulations on how we're supposed to take care of people. And I'm going to have God tell me how to take care of people. And he does just this in Leviticus chapter 19, verses 9 and 10. He says, "When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap your field right up to its edge. Neither shall you gather the gleanings after your harvest, and you shall not strip your vineyard bare. Neither shall you gather the fallen grapes of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and the sojourner. I am the Lord your God." Here God is showing us how to take care of the poor. This is an example of giving above your tithe. See, God commanded a tenth of the harvest. Here he's saying, don't harvest at all. Instead, leave it for the poor. And he doesn't give a certain amount either, because each one of us has a different size field. Now, these drive-by giveaways I mentioned before are funded by the government, by their grants that they've been handing out like candy since COVID hit. Now, these places allow you to drive up, pop your trunk, they give you a food box, and then you drive away. This is not how we truly help people. First of all, there's no accountability. See, at the FSC, we only allow 5 visits in 1 year. This puts the responsibility back to the person needing help. It makes them to be stewards of the help we give. With the drive-bys, there is no responsibility of stewardship. Second, they're wasting good resources. I've talked to some volunteers who helped with these drive-bys, and they told me they never knew if someone came back through the line. The only thing they knew is they were giving away thousands of boxes of food. And during this time, we were struggling at the FSC to have some good nutritional food to help families with. So it's just a big waste of resources. But third, with the drive-bys, there's no relationships being made. See, we make them come in and fill out paperwork, which gives us the time to talk and get to know them. One of my biggest joys at the FSC is talking with people, getting to know them, understanding more of what they are going through, getting the chance to pray with them. We allow them to understand that we care about them, letting them know that they matter, and giving us an opportunity to share the good news of Jesus. Now, why do we do this? Well, because I know a life without Jesus, and I know a better life with Jesus. I know God can work in everyone's life. In fact, I know this does happen at the FSC. There was a few years back I got to talk about Andy. Now, Andy was a guy that came to the FSC who had been released from jail. He was homeless. At that time, he was not talking to his wife. He was still stuck in his addictions. And he shared that when he was in jail, he started reading the Bible and started learning about this guy, Jesus. He would come by and we would talk about his struggles and he'd ask questions about Scripture. And this went on for a little over a year or so, and then all of a sudden, Andy was gone. He popped up about 6 months later, and he shared how he had messed up and went back to jail. He shared with me what a blessing it was because he realized how his own choices is what put him back in. He told me that God revealed himself to him, and now Andy's eyes were open. Today, Andy is now back home with his wife and kids. He is working, staying away from his previous life. We still talk, mostly text, about Scripture and about how good God is to us. He still struggles, but he faces these struggles with the knowledge of knowing that God is always with him. He can face these challenges and attacks from Satan with the full armor of God. There's another instance where we went to one of the stores around town. We were going to buy some stuff for the Cruising for Christ car show. And so the assistant manager came to us to help us set up the tax exempt. She was reading the form and she recognized the name on it and asked if we were the place that helps with food. I was like, yeah, we are. She explained how we helped her 3 years previously when she was pregnant and hopeless. She was so thankful and shared how we were there in her time of need, that we were the actual hand up instead of a handout. There's many stories I would love to share with this, like this, but we don't have enough time. And there are many times I wonder if we were actually doing any help down there. I wonder if we're not just enabling. I'm wondering if it's all worth it. But I'll tell you, God is always faithful when I wonder. He shows me that we're helping people. He will send that right person to say thank you for helping them when they needed it most. Or there'll be a post about someone telling someone else who needs assistance to come to the Washington Family Service Center. And they always tell them that we care and we can help them. People who come for food share their personal lives and allow us to be a tiny part in their lives. It's been 10 years now that God has allowed me to be a part of His great works. Even though I'm a selfish person, and I don't know why He does it, but I do know I enjoy life a lot more. I no longer see the shroud of darkness, I can only see the light. I am no longer the king of a broken castle. I am now a servant of a great king who loves me. It is my desire to help and serve others. The FSC is all about serving and helping God's people. And so I ask, will you help? There are many ways to do it. The biggest way you can is with financial support. As you all know, everything has increased tremendously this past year, and so your financial support is needed more than anything. And like I said, 90% of our income comes from you. It's not a few giving a lot. It's a lot giving a little. Leaving a corner of their field for the poor. Now, another way you can help is by giving of your time. Our volunteers commit an hour or two a week. They do the work that is needed for the FSC to operate properly. And there are several areas that you can volunteer. We always need help during the distribution shifts. Right now, a big need is we need help preparing sacks for the distribution shifts. Now, this is a job for someone who likes to work alone and behind the scenes. We need some help extra help sorting through the donations and restocking the clothing. You know, that area I do not like. Now, I know many of you have been upset because the FSC truck is not open on Sundays. But as one of the pictures had shown, we receive mountains of donations. And it seems like as soon as the crew gets through one mountain, another mountain comes through. And the crew has threatened me not to open the truck on Sunday. So maybe if you come and help sort through those, we can open the truck on Sunday. But without volunteers, the FSC can't operate properly. One of the other ways you help is by donating your clothing. Shoes, jackets, jeans, shirts, blankets, dishes. If it has a need for living, we will take it. And I ask, please, that you do not leave donations outside the front door at the FSC. When you do this, it allows an opportunity for the homeless in the neighborhood to go through it. And I kid you not, I came in one morning and they pooed right on the pile of donations. Yes, so please don't leave them outside the door because I have to end up throwing them away. Another way to help is to come to our fundraisers. This February 18th, we are having our Festival of Flavors fundraiser. Now, this is a friendly competition between home cooks with their family favorite recipes. And we need you to provide a dish. And we need people to come eat the food. And Ethan Woods is not competing this year, so everybody has a chance to win. He's going to be a judge. All right, so, and then in September, we have our Cruising for Christ Classic Car Show. Always a great event. And then I've been kind of tossing around the whole idea of a cornhole tournament. Now, it took me 3 services to get that whole joke. I've been tossing around the idea of a cornhole tournament. It's not as good as your puns, I know. Well, anyways, I'm sure we are out of time. And I hope you've had a chance to see those pictures that went by. And the many young children who get involved. I want to brag on Maverick. For the last 2 or 3 years, instead of birthday presents, he has asked for food donations for the Family Service Center. And then there was a picture of a Girl Scout troop who took the time to donate a whole bunch of food. And we have many young ones who come and volunteer. Now, if these young kids can give of their time, can't you? I want you to just think about it. Anyways, in the bulletin, you should have received one of these cards. If you did not, we have extras at the table. These are commitment cards for you and God. These are something physical for you to give a commitment to. I do not hound people who turn in commitments, because I hate it when people do that. But it's mainly between you and God. And if you've decided to do it today, great. Please fill it out and put it in the offering box. We're also going to give you a minute here to just kind of pray about it. And if you're not sure, because there's many places we can give the money God blesses us with too, and many organizations that are worthy of it. And so we always need to go to God and pray on where he wants us to direct his resources. So if you haven't made up your mind, we'll be accepting these all month. And I just want to thank you for allowing me to come before you today and share a little bit about my story and my passion at the FSC and the works that go on there. Thank you.
thank you, Darnell, for sharing from your heart today, giving this little deeper look inside who you are and being brave enough to do that. I love stories of God's work in our lives, and all of us have stories, right? All of us are stories of God's work in our lives. These cards, we'll be receiving these commitments during the month of February. Of course, we're always glad to receive these donations. If you have one that's ready today, just drop it in one of those offering boxes, and we'll begin to consider what we have been given. God has been so faithful through the 27 years of this ministry, and he's always provided exactly what we need, and he's done that through you. So thank you for being a part of that. Darnell, I do appreciate your story. You had them at Cornhole. There was a lot of interest in that, I could tell. That's just the kind of group we are. I'm not sure that I believe you had that many dates back before you got married. So, hey, really, I just don't see it, man. I just don't see it. But maybe it's true. I don't know. It was before the beard. Okay, maybe that's it. All right, we are out of time today. Thanks for being here. If you have been a supporter of our family service and ministry, some of you for decades, thank you. If you volunteered, if you've just been there for us, thank you. If it's something new to you, you've never gotten experience with it, you've never tried this, stepped out of your comfort zone, do remember, it's not about you. It's not about now. Bigger things in store. Thank you for considering that. If you would stand, I'll say a prayer and we'll get out of here. Father, thank you for bringing us to your house today, for letting us spend time with these, your people. Thank you for the blessing of fellowship, for the blessing of hearing stories of truth and your work. I pray that you will help us to understand the opportunities that are before us and that we will continually trust you to know how to use our resources, to know how to be the hands and feet of Jesus in this world. It's in his name we pray. Amen. God bless.
Well, hey, everybody. Thanks for checking out a worship experience here at Washington Avenue Christian Church. We're so glad that you chose to carve out part of your weekend to spend with us. And we would love to know that you were here watching with us online. So would you take just a moment, head over to our website, wacconline.org, and fill out the digital connect card. There, you can let us know that you were here. You can let us know any next steps that you may be interested in taking, including but not limited to placing your faith in Jesus for the very first time. You can also let us know about anything that we can be praying about for you and with you. And I will be following up with you later on this week about those Connect cards. Again, we're so glad that you chose to be with us for this worship experience at Washington Avenue Christian Church, where real people experience real grace.